Deuteronomy chapter 12. So we've been looking at Christian living and the Ten Commandments, each commandment corresponding with a truth, a moral law for all generations, especially for a believer in Christ. And we saw, we've studied the different commandments and how we saw the right priority in the first one, the right worship in the second commandment, the right language in the third, the right remembrance of the holy, the right family relations, the right respect for others, the right morals in the seventh. And here we've been on the eighth commandment, the right respect for private property. The eighth commandment again is, anybody know? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. So that's where we've been looking. We saw God's principle of stewardship, where God owns creation, but man has been assigned to oversee that. God still, by the way, he still sustains his creation. That's not to say that God takes his hands off everything and just lets it go willy-nilly. He says, but I want you, mankind, to oversee it, to be a good steward of it. And as we do, as we follow God's plan, he protects that law, that we, you know, we'll still have things to use for him if we follow it. God's principle of compassion. We saw the story of the Good Samaritan and different views that come out and emerge from that story. A communistic view, yours is mine, I'll take it. Well, the thieves, of course, that's representative of them. Capitalistic view, the priest and the Levite who could have helped, but they refused, though they had things to help with. They didn't hurt necessarily, other than they just walked by. They didn't really try to make any difference in the man's life. The compassionate view was the Samaritan who shows what Christ would do. Mine is mine, I will help you and use what God's given in that regard. Then we saw the principle of work in Ephesians chapter 4. All behavior is to copy Jesus Christ. The various things mentioned in Ephesians 4 there, verses 20 through 28, lying, anger, with sin. It said be angry and sin not, but that's what we don't want. It's anger with sin, stealing, and then rotten language, filthy communication, etc. Then the new man, though, his habits need to be Christ-like behavior, like Jesus would. Instead of lying, speak truth. Instead of anger with sin, don't sin, but put away swiftly. Put it away swiftly. In fact, verse 27, it says, neither give place to who? The devil. Yeah, Satan, somehow, anger is one of his best doors to get into our heart if we open it up in that way. So he says, get rid of it, put it away. Then work to use the earnings to meet somebody else's need. And then language that should be building or edifying, as the Bible said. Then we saw the renewed motive, renewed in Christ, and work helps cure stealing, helps cure stealing. You can reform somebody, but as soon as they no longer have that authority over them, that's making sure they follow the reformation of their life, then it's very easy to go back to the old ways, as they would say. But that's why you need a new motive, a new renewal of the heart. And what Christ wants is what we want, and that's the idea in that. So here we are, God's principle, number four. Let's take a look. Chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Would you read those verses with me, and then we'll pray. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 through 7. Let's read them together. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out for all of you tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. I want to look tonight at God's principle of tithing, or here's the blank. This is not a word that you're going to find in the dictionary. Tenthing. tithe means tenth. So for tithing, we're 10th thing, right? Isn't that, I mean, that's my logic on that. So we're looking at what God has for us. And tonight we're kind of setting the baseline, but there is a part of Scripture that tells us this was important enough to God that he mentions it in some of his Old Testament writings, the minor prophets especially, where it mattered to him. So let's talk about that. God's principle of tithing or tenthing. And here we see the baseline of these various things. We're going to take a look at them. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue on. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for us every day. In fact, you typically provide above and beyond what we need. And Lord, we just don't thank you enough. Well, tonight I pray, help us to see another aspect of how to live properly before you, to have that right respect, not just for you, but for the property you've given everybody. And Lord, use it for your honor and glory. May you bless tonight as we look in the Scriptures. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tenthing, or tithing, or whatever you want to call it. Here's the list that he shares with us in these verses. I want to ask some help with some of these verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Who would look up Romans 12, 1 and 2? How about Gunner's got those? And then Vicki, I saw your hand. How about Leviticus chapter 2, Leviticus, very next book before Deuteronomy, right? Leviticus chapter 2, 1 and 2, thank you. Numbers 15, verse 19. Who would look up Numbers 15, verse 19? All right, Trenton's got that. All right, thank you, sir. Then we have 1 Peter. We'll all go there. How about Numbers 15, verse 2 through 4? Verses 2 through 4. Ray will read that for us. Thank you. How about Philippians 3, verses 7 through 10? So pretty good amount of verses there. Philippians 3, 7 through 10. All right, thank you, Bob. And then one more here to give out, Numbers 18, verse 26. Numbers chapter 18, verse 26. Sister Carolyn's going to read that. And then we'll all go and finish with 1 Corinthians 16 tonight. God's principle of tithing. First of all, the list here, the Bible talks about, these are sacrifices here in Deuteronomy. And they are sacrifices that he specifically tells Israel. And by the way, are we to have actual sacrifices today? How come we don't need actual sacrifices of animals and their blood, etc., today? Because the blood of Jesus covered all that. We don't need that blood. But there are aspects of the sacrifices that can be applied today and are repeated in the New Testament. That's the key. What we see in the Old Testament, how important is it for us to live as a Christian? Well, if it's repeated in the New Testament, it's important. If it's repeated. If it's not, then you have to consider, is this was only for a particular time, particular place, etc.? Various ways to study Scripture and see how applicable is it to us today. Well, let's take a look at this one. First of all, verse 6 in Deuteronomy here. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings. Burnt offerings. This is the blood sacrifice that would be brought to the priests. They would slay the sacrifice, and they would, the Bible says, they were to sprinkle the blood over the horns of the altar, etc. This was an atonement for sin, for sin. This was part of the use of the burnt offerings. Romans 12, 1 and 2 gives us an idea of how we are to bring ourselves to the Lord and let him use us how he sees fit. Gunner's got those verses. Let's find out. I got to tell you, my memory is not as good as it used to be. So I always think, let's look at it.
Not conform to this world, be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will.
There you go. I was thinking, yeah, something's missing there. But this is, of course, the blood sacrifice of the burnt offering in the Old Testament is representative of what Jesus did for you and me. We are not that blood sacrifice. But what God does say is, I want you to offer yourself to me, to me. Bring yourself to me, and so that I can use you. Sacrifices in the old and the new, and here the Bible tells us in the New Testament, he wants us to offer ourselves. Blood sacrifice, Jesus paid it all, praise the Lord. Heave offerings. Verse number 6 says, bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand. A heave offering, literally, they called it a heave offering because the priest was supposed to, whatever it was he had in his hands, heave it up like that, and with the idea that God would receive it symbolically. That's why they called it heave offerings. They were food, meat, breads, etc., various types of grains and things are mentioned in the Old Testament. They were supposed to be unleavened, which is a symbol of no sin. Unleavened, U-N-L-E-A-V-E-N-E-D, unleavened in that sense. So without sin and consecrated to God. This is something that is his, it's not ours. Again, it's a blood sacrifice in that sense that it was offered for consecration before God to be given in love and gratefulness. Love and gratefulness. This was something that was not necessarily ordered every 6 months or 2 months. It was through the year. Give the Lord an offering of thankfulness and gratefulness for what he's done for you. Free will offerings. He says in verse number 6 again, and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. A free will offering, again, a blood sacrifice, was done in love and gratefulness, slain by the worshiper. Worshiper. So not the priest, but the one who brought it, was to be slain by the worshiper. I'm sorry, we skipped a bunch of verses, didn't we? Let's go hear from them. We're talking about heave offerings. Leviticus 2, verse 1 and 2. And Vicki's got those verses, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take there out his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Okay, thank you. Then it shares kind of the methodology of doing the heave offering, all these various ingredients, and then they were to heave it onto the altar. Numbers 15, verse 19. Trenton, I think that's yours, right?
Then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up a heave offering unto the Lord.
Okay, again, so the Bible is clear. That's part of their life, their worship of God. In giving and sacrificing, let's take a look at the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, so again, the heave offering was to be without, it symbolized being brought before God and dedicating without sin, unleavened. Take a look at verse 21, verse 22. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So what is God's plan for you and me in our Christian behavior? That we don't sin, that we don't respond in sin, and especially as the example given of Jesus when he was reviled, to revile not again, etc. Other forms of behavior, of course, are important, and he uses that as an example. So the heave offering, it corresponds today for us living a righteous life without sin. And by the way, a life without sin is a life without a lot of regret. Amen.
Yes.
There's regret when sin, we take it on, we nurture it or whatever. Regret will follow, if not worse. But God says, if you follow my son, there'll be less regret. You'll be accepted in my sight. All these things, we want to follow him. Then free will offerings, we talked about that again, a blood sacrifice. In love and gratefulness, slain by the worshiper, not the priest. Numbers 15, verses 2 through 4 talks about that.
Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitation, which is given unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord, of the herd or of the flock. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour, mingled with fourth part of an hin of oil.
Okay, thank you. So here we see a combination of the sacrifices that God told his people to bring. One is free will. What does free will mean? You bring what you will. You bring what you will, but offer it to God. It could be more than one. It could be several, but whatever your will is, bring it to the Lord. And then he says to coincide in that particular chapter, coincide with the heave offering, again, that honors God. dedicating a sinless life to him, etc. God wants us to consider that. And in the New Testament, he wants us to consider being a offering freely to him. For Philippians 3, verses 7 through 10.
But what things were gained to me, those are kind of lost for Christ. Hey, that was, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and he said, everything I had before Jesus was worth nothing compared to what I know of him today. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that I might have eternal life and join in his righteousness, etc. All those things, as valuable as they were in the world's eyes, they don't make any, they're not worth a hill of beans in eternity. And in God's value. Can they be used? Can worldly things be used for God's goodness? Well, of course, yeah. If we offer monies that has George Washington on them, or if you're lucky enough, you got Ben Franklin on them, or whatever, you know, then they can be used for the help of others. But certainly his point was this. Personally, I've seen those things. The value of them does not compare to knowing Christ. And I offer them all to him, free will. Now let's get to, we're in Deuteronomy once more, chapter 12. Verse number 6 talks about tithes. Tithes. Oops, that's not where I was going. Deuteronomy 12, verse number 6. Let's see. So he says, offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, which is a tenth. Tithes were consecrated to God, giving for furtherance of, here's the blank, worship. Worship. Those monies were used so we can continue to do some of the things we worship the Lord in ways we do it. What were some of their monies used for? Well, here's what the Bible tells us. They were dedicated for tabernacle upkeep and essentials of the Levites, which was the tribe responsible for taking care of the tabernacle and all the priestly responsibilities, etc. And God used those for his glory. Let's hear about that in Numbers chapter 18, verse 26.
Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe.
Okay, thank you very much. So the tithe was used to upkeep the buildings, upkeep the tabernacle, etc., later the temple, and help with the essentials of the Levites so that they can continue to do the job God called them to do. But something interesting at the end of that verse, what were the Levites supposed to do with what they received through the tithe? They were supposed to give a tithe too. Out of that, they were to give a tithe as well. And God, so the point is this, God holds everybody responsible for this, or I should say open to this, tithes, dedicated monies for tabernacle. Now, is tithe still in effect today? Well, giving is still in effect today, certainly. And we call it the tithe because that's all through the Old Testament. But you know how many times the word tithe is used in the New Testament? It's not. Not in the sense of where the church is responsible, but here was what is mentioned to the church, and that is giving to the Lord, especially on a particular time and place. Let's hear from that. So here's the thought. New Testament equals proportionate giving at the church for the needs of the church as well as the essentials of those helping care for it. 1 Corinthians 16, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 16, let's go there. And we'll stop with this, verse 1 and 2. Would you read these with me? Let's go ahead and read them together. We're in 1 Corinthians 16. Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's actually commending them for their giving. They were known throughout the churches throughout the Asia there for their giving and care. Let's see how Paul told them, okay, as you do it, here's what you need to do. Verse 1 and 2. Let's read those together. Now concerning the collection of the saint for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let's stop right there. Where did Paul tell them to give a tenth of everything they had? Doesn't say it there. But what he does say is, in proportionate to what God has blessed you with, give so that needs can be met, especially the needs of the saints. Now, is that more than a tenth sometimes? Sometimes it is. Is it sometimes less? Well, that's between you and God. You know, I believe personally, I believe a tenth is where you start. That's my personal belief. You don't have to accept that, but since it's in Scripture, that's where it needs to start. And you'll find that as you tithe or as you give to the Lord, you'll find that you all that money you thought you never had to give, all of a sudden it appears. All of a sudden it works out, but it doesn't work on paper. How many of you at the end of the year have thought, wow, I don't know how I gave to the Lord that much? Because it doesn't work out on paper. When you give to the Lord, guess what? He provides. He provides. That's my experience, and you can take for it what you want. I'm not saying that where some have preached that, you know, as you give, God's gonna increase whatever you give by 10. That's not the way God works. He hasn't worked that way for me. Has he done that for you? No. That's not taught in Scripture. What he does say is, as we give, he continues to meet our needs. And usually, you have found. Far more than your needs, more than what we are required to have. It's important. We want to continue on this next week. We're going to look at the rest of the list of Deuteronomy and then see how did Israel get off the rails? Because later in the book of Malachi, we read, we go back to our verse, thou shalt not steal, but they did. They did. How did they do that? All right, let's go find a person to pray with, and let's